Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
That's Dan Fogelberg, the late, great Dan Fogelberg, bringing us back one of my favorite songs from one of my favorite albums, The Innocent Age. Go get that album. I promise you, you will not regret it. You'll thank me for buying that album. I've worn out, I don't know how many cassettes and CDs, and I have it every way you can get it. So check it out. Welcome back, 17 till the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I am the Small Business Advocate. Please check out my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. We're having a great visit with our good friend Bill Brandt. Bill is the president and CEO of Development Specialists, Inc., DSI.biz, right? DSI.biz, so check it out. And Bill writes a lot of articles that will benefit you folks. Bill's a global businessman, a global executive, global problem solver, politically connected up to his ears. And that means he's got some great information and perspectives for us. Bill, one of the things I've been saying about the problems, some of the problems we have in America on the governmental level, in the marketplace as well, is that we made a lot of promises in the 20th century when things were flush that are now coming due in the 21st century reality. And
didn't you and I get married in the 20th century?
I sure did.
Sorry.
I sure did. And well, I won't go there. I had another one. Anyway, so, but seriously, folks, we these promises are coming due in 21st century reality, and there's a lot of people disappointed, aren't there?
Well, they're not disappointed yet. The mathematics are that if trends continue...
Tell that to the people in Greece.
Well, I didn't make any promises to the people in Greece. Now, you might have, because you dined at those restaurants often.
I'm talking about around the globe. Europe.
Well,
did.
Around
Europe
the globe, did. Yes, we did.
It was a pattern around the globe, a form of corporate paternalism, really, wasn't it?
I wouldn't say it was corporate paternalism. I would differ with you a bit on that, Jim. You know, the classic bargain for public employees was, and teachers were always the epitome of this. You know, nobody wants to be a teacher. We need good teachers. We can't pay you a lot, but what we will do is, well, you won't make what you will in the private sector teaching all your life and getting our students to educated. We will take care of you in your old age. And so we designed pension plans for our public employees way back in the 50s and 60s on that model. And now
Not just, I mean, the governments did it. Corporations did it.
Yes, corporations did it. You know, but I think the current problem, I mean, corporations had a different way of doing it. They had the ability to fund their pension plans, and you and I both know that many of them would then do calculations to see if their pension plans were overfunded and would take out the balance rather than leave it in, rather than saving for a rainy day.
Right.
So the flexibility of corporations, you know, in many cases, if there's an underfunded corporate pension plan, it's because the stewardship of the pension plan by those in power at the corporation wasn't good, and they could have done better. They had far more latitude than the public did with respect to public pension plans. So, but the public pension plans are a problem right now, and everybody knows this. One of the biggest problems with the public pension plans, and to some extent with the private pension plans, isn't the fact that the pension plans exist or have decent benefits. It's that the cost of living increases that we've grown used to granting every year, and then compound, if you will, have made the math ridiculous.
And people are living longer and retiring earlier, and et cetera, et cetera. And it's about to take some states down, isn't it?
Well, it's about to, I don't know if it's going to take some states down. It goes back to the same issue you and I were talking about at the start of the show, the budget. You know, when Social Security was passed, 65 years old in 1933 and 4 was 90 today. Mm-hmm. And it's an actuarial insurance program, and it's the government betting that the bulk of the people won't live long enough to collect all the benefits due them, and that's how it works, just like a life insurance policy or a life insurance company. But 65 is the new 50 today or something, and you know, rather than move the retirement age up to 67 or something, it probably needs to truly be reset at something like 72 or 73 at a minimum, mm-hmm. or even higher. Mm-hmm. Jim, you and I were just talking before we got on the air about whether we're ever going to retire. And while there may be a bunch of people who want us to for other reasons, the fact of the matter is I can see both of us working well into our 70s and being healthy.
I'm not planning on retiring, yeah.
And being healthy.
They're going to take me out of here and feet first, you know. That's right.
Yeah, there's a movement afoot to do that just exactly. today, but I'll get back to that. But I think that you could move the retirement age measurably up.
Would that solve California's problem? Would that solve Illinois' problems? Would that solve New York's problems?
No, but Detroit, what would it's a joint effort. You'd have to move some. You know, remember, just like I was dealing with this in the Pacific Rim on Guam and Saipan.
Right.
They have what the automotive people used to have, the classic 20 and out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in Saipan and Guam, there's not a lot of public employees who go to college, so they start work at 18 and 19 right after high
wow.
school. They do their 20 years, which
before
means...
Before they're 40, they're retired.
At full benefits, okay?
Yeah.
Now, maybe I can countenance that for a fireman or a policeman on a stress job, might be even longer. But certainly the white-collar folks who push
yeah.
pencils, and I don't mean to... You know, you could push that and change that benefit
well,
measurably.
Yeah, I just think those are promises that we made that we shouldn't have made, and now we can't keep them. I mean, we just the money is just not there, and we're running into all kinds of problems. And this is... You know, if you had this kind of commitment on your... In your company, Bill, it'd be called a contingent liability, and the bank would ding you for it.
They would.
The auditors would ding you for it.
Well, it is called a contingent liability, and even
yeah.
and even now in many of the government accounting programs, they are trying to figure this out. I mean, there's a three-pronged general approach to it, Jim.
Well, hold on to that thought. When we come back, I'm going to let you give us that three-pronged approach. Bill Brandt, ladies and gentlemen, this is a real serious thing. I mean, what if the government of California became Greece, which it really is, it just hasn't declared that. What if that happened? This is like the ninth largest economy in the world. It wouldn't be good. We got to solve these issues. Quick break, 10 till. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.